If you have been thinking about buying a new vehicle, now is the time to do it. Donate your car during the Cartober campaign, and Hohen Motors will be offering a $1,000 thank you voucher to all donors. Go online to kpbs.org/car to make your donation.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Tuesday, October 22nd. There's a call for accountability over the response to the January floods. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. Nearly 2,400 Kaiser mental health professionals are on strike again today across Southern California. They are demanding restored pensions and guaranteed time for essential patient care tasks, like developing treatment plans. They say their pay lags behind other Kaiser non-mental health employees in similar roles by as much as 40%. Josh Garcia has been a mental health therapist at Kaiser for 10 years.
We're on strike because we really want to keep our communities safe. We want to keep our patients safe. We want to make sure that we're not burning out of therapists. And we really just want parity with what Northern California and with what Hawaii has.
In a statement, Kaiser says it has offered fair proposals, including wage increases of 18% over 4 years. They say increasing non-patient care hours would reduce patient care. Kaiser says patient care will continue during the strike. Negotiations will resume tomorrow. People working and living near the Tijuana River Valley and nearby beaches can share their concerns and experiences in a new survey. The Assessment of Chemical Exposure Survey is being conducted by the CDC and Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. Teams walking in the community and beach areas will provide people with a QR code to the survey. Anyone who has spent time near or on the water in the last 30 days is eligible to participate. This survey follows a survey last week that focused on households and families. Both surveys are looking at the health impacts of the border sewage pollution crisis. The county is offering free flu shots at events happening over the next few weeks. The CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older should get the flu vaccine every year. The next event will be held next Wednesday at the Northgate Market in Chula Vista from 1 to 4 p.m. There will be another one on November 5th at the Southeastern LiveWell Center and another on November 13th at the Mission Valley Library. If you can't make it to the events, free flu vaccines are also available at some public health center locations. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Felt, Curator of Photography at the San Diego Museum of Art. We're pleased to welcome to San Diego Pre-Picte Human, the latest exhibition from the world's leading award for photography and sustainability. The Museum of Photographic Arts at the San Diego Museum of Art is the only U.S. venue on the international tour of Pre-Picte Human. See work by 12 shortlisted photographers, including the award winner Indian photographer Gauri Gill, in the celebrated exhibition Exploring Human Experiences. Pre-Picte Human is on view now through December 15, 2024 at MOPA at SDMA in Balboa Park. Learn more at mopa.org.
Nine months ago today, an overflowing storm channel flooded San Diego homes, making them unlivable. Now there's a call for accountability and transparency about the response. Reporter John Carroll tells us community advocates say it was disorganized and incompetent.
San Diego County contracted with Equus Workforce Solutions to organize and provide lodging for people left homeless by the January 22nd floods. But community activists like Claritza Marin of the Harvey Family Foundation say Equus failed in its responsibilities.
We had residents that called and reported complaining of being sent to hotels that had been shut down, complaining of having to repeatedly provide the same information over and over again, followed up with threats of being evicted if they didn't immediately comply. Well, our communities have serious concerns with the response and most importantly, the servicing under this contract.
Fourth District Supervisor Monica Montgomery Stepp also has concerns, so she's asking her fellow supervisors to approve an audit of the Equus contract. Stepp will introduce her call for an audit at Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting. We reached out to Equus for comment, but did not hear back by our deadline. John Carroll, KPBS News.
This fall, low-income community college students who live in Mexico but go to school in San Diego or Imperial County will pay in-state tuition. South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki says it's because of a new state law that goes into effect this year.
When Tijuana resident Christopher Garcia first started at Southwestern College in Chula Vista back in 2021, it was really expensive. A big reason was the cost of non-resident tuition, which can add up to thousands of dollars every semester. Some weeks, Garcia would stay with a family member in Chula Vista, just to keep his commuting costs down.
It was quite crazy, you know, because I had my family over there. I had literally my life over there in Tijuana. So, of course, it was like a big factor of like being sad, being emotional, not being with my family right now just for this.
But this semester, Garcia says he's been able to spend a lot more time with his family. That's because last year, California lawmakers passed AB 91, which lets low-income students who live less than 45 miles south of the border pay in-state tuition. On Monday morning, officials from San Diego and Baja California gathered at Southwestern for a celebration of the new law. State Senator Steve Padilla is a co-author of the legislation.
We are one region, that we are Norte Americanos. Somos nos. Our economic and social futures are inextricably linked.
Padilla says AB 91 demonstrates that connection and is an important step towards increasing access to education for students throughout Baja California. In Chula Vista, Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
Local Democrats are supporting a plan to expand access to contraceptives. Yesterday, several elected officials were joined by U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra at a pharmacy in Carmel Valley. They were there to talk about a rule change to make over-the-counter birth control pills and condoms available free of charge.
You should not have to pay out of pocket to get the contraceptives that you need. And two, you should not have to come with a prescription in every case for certain types of contraceptives.
Currently, the Affordable Care Act allows for free contraceptives if the patient has a prescription. The proposed rule change would remove the requirement for those with private insurance. In other health-related news, 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer. It's the second most common cancer among women. And awareness has grown to where we now know why baseball players sometimes wear pink shoes. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge tells us about the hard choices women have to make and the story of one woman's journey.
Janelle Franca Correa is in her Point Loma hair salon where she has just recently returned to work. Life was pretty normal until about a year ago when she got a mammogram at the age of 41. It was negative, but soon after it, she started feeling some pain in her breast.
I met my general doctor, my husband with me, and she said, "Do not worry. Things like this happen. Pain is not associated with breast cancer. Like, it may be just a mass that's touching a nerve, and that's why you're having pain. And either way, we'll do a biopsy and see what it is."
She got the results of the biopsy from a phone call.
It was my kids' last day of school, so picked them up at school, took them to Denny's, and then I got the call back. And automatically, you know, my oldest was like, "I could tell something's wrong." I was like, "It's okay, I'm just on the phone with my doctor." So I immediately texted my husband. It came back cancerous. We're going to finish up here and I'll come home.
Every person's journey through cancer is different because lives are complex and so is breast cancer. Daniel Hollern is a cancer biologist at Salk Institute. He said he devoted himself to the field of study after two of his heroes, his uncle and his grandpa, died of cancer. He says cancer is a very general term for many different diseases.
Also within breast cancer, we have triple negative breast cancer, we have hormone receptor positive breast cancer, we have HER2 receptor positive breast cancer. Each of those have different sort of treatments that work. Therefore, you know, every cancer patient kind of enters their journey from, you know, a unique place.
Hollern's research is focused on immunotherapy treatment, teaching the immune system to attack cancer cells in a robust way. T cells are his attackers, but when it comes to breast and some other cancers, the cell targets are hard to find. And some cancer is good at evading the immune system with what Hollern describes as false messages. He's looking for ways to activate B cells, another part of the immune system alphabet, so they can direct T cells toward their cancerous targets. Will this therapy become the best way to treat breast cancer?
I think, even though immunotherapy has struggled to work, it's not a hopeless endeavor. I truly believe that this is the way to go because, you know, cancer cells can develop resistance to drugs, but when you have your immune system locked on, there's nowhere for it to go.
Hollerin's research may hold promise for the future of breast cancer treatment, but it wasn't an option for Janelle Franca Correa. So she made the tough choice of having a double mastectomy. They discovered a cancerous lymph node in the process, so she will begin radiation treatment next month. Correa, by the way, had no family history of breast cancer. Losing both breasts was hard. She says losing that part of her and having to wear baggy shirts has been very tough.
It's definitely been mentally, emotionally, a huge challenge. I haven't really gone to parties or anything. I'm just don't want to get dressed in that sort of way yet. But the mental and emotional side has been the hugest part. And I've talked to lots of women that feel the same way.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The Susan G. Komen Foundation has been using it to fundraise and sponsor events that bring attention to the cause. Leah Brune is executive director of Susan G. Komen San Diego. She says they are focused on bringing their message and therapies they underwrite to women of all ethnic backgrounds.
Latina women, it's the most diagnosed cancer in Latina women. And like I mentioned, the 40% more likely for Black women to die from this disease. So these are just really large disparities that we need to continue just putting a focus on.
One of the culminating events of Breast Cancer Awareness Month will be the Susan G. Komen More Than Pink Walk in Balboa Park. The celebratory walk takes place on Sunday, November 3rd. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
Since 1994, the Sherman Heights Community Center has honored loved ones who've passed on for Dia de los Muertos. Video journalist Matthew Bowler gives us a look inside this special celebration of life after death.
Every year, for 30 years, the Sherman Heights Community Center is transformed. Francisco Soto, programs manager at the Community Center, says Dia de los Muertos is one of the most important events for him.
It's about family, it's about tradition, it's about culture, it's about history. It's not Halloween or anything like that. It's more cultural, historical, educational.
The celebration lasts 7 days, with each day dedicated to different people who've passed on. And then on November 2nd comes the big day.
Dia de los Muertos. It's more about love, it's more about honoring the memory of the person.
Matthew Bowler, KPBS News.
The Sherman Heights Community Center is hosting Day of the Dead events throughout the month. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. In tomorrow's podcast, one of our KPBS web producers joins me to talk about our newsroom's voter guide. Join us again tomorrow for that, plus the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Tuesday.
On the next drop of Rap Diego, we enter a new millennium. We explore the expansion of our music scene through insights from writer Alex Kuchma and DJ Demon.
The first mixtape I ever made was actually on cassette, and it was
We highlight the contributions of women in rap, featuring an interview with Mickey Vail.
What's up? This is Mickey Vail, and you are listening to...
Tune in and get familiar with the rich tapestry of San Diego rap. You can find us anywhere you stream podcasts.